We're going to have this is a corrections committee panel, and Jackie, Paul, and Brenda will be sharing their experience on that. So take it away, folks. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Paul, and I'm an alcoholic. I can talk loud enough.
Now you can hear me better, huh? You know, the voice in my head is louder than this microphone anyways. I'm currently serving as Area 74's corrections chair. I stood in for another person that decided to, they moved somewhere else, so they needed an area chair. And I volunteered to do so and was voted in by the area to continue on. I guess they call it a liaison. How do they call it? Say that, Mary Jo? When you fill in for it. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I'm doing it. So anyways, I get to do some stuff with that. And it's a real honor, and it's helped my recovery a lot because it got to get me out of my head more. And I liked how everybody else shared on these panels ahead of me. What happens for myself and Alcoholics Anonymous as standing up to do something else means I have a little bit more time to get out of my head, to not worry about, oh, poor Paul. Okay, so anybody that's thinking of doing any kind of service work, please, please, please do so. It is very helpful in my recovery, just because I get to continue doing something. And that's always been made, it looked attractive to me because my sponsor did it and other people in my groups and other meetings that I go to, that I've been around, people are doing this stuff. So it's not just what I'm doing for myself. I got to watch other people do this stuff. So it's really been nice to see that. And I wanted to be part of that. And I get to be part of that by volunteering to do something. To get started into the corrections part of this, I have, and this is not to brag, but I only have 8 years of sobriety. But out of this, that time, for probably I wasn't even a year sober, I was starting to attend our district corrections committee meetings. I needed to have a year of sobriety to go into the facilities in my district. So I just attended because I wanted to see what was going on. And that led on to other things. So for 7 years, I've actively been going into the jails at home, and I even get the opportunity to go to another correctional facility that's outside of our district in Chippewa Falls, and Brenda may talk about that. But that's really been helpful, and I really enjoy doing that. I like to carry the message the best that I can. I can't say I'm always 100% successful with what I do, but I'm just trying to do that for the next person. God knows I've been in jail a whole lot of times. I've got quite a bit of drunk drivings behind me. So I qualify. My name's been in the newspaper more than it's probably been in any AA literature. So I'm not afraid to tell you guys what my last name is because it's been everywhere before. But it also helps people find you if I use my last name. And I'm not going to get going into that stuff. But I had a desire to do this because it was shown to me by my sponsor. It was kind of appealing to me. I wanted to try to give back. And I was told I could only give back what I can only keep what I have by trying to give it away. So that's a small part of what I get to do. I brought a map that the area has furnished for me to take around to places. It's the big map that probably just looks like a big shiny mirror to some of you people. It's got the northern part of Wisconsin is on there. It's got little triangles. Those are correctional facilities. They are not jails. They are prisons. And there's also the UP of Michigan's on there, and that shows the facilities that are in Michigan. I'm only the corrections chair for the area of Wisconsin due to Michigan has their own rules. Department of Corrections will not allow non-residents to come in to their facilities. They used to, years ago when I was attending area functions as GSR, I would hear that if there wasn't a a chair for Michigan, that there was kind of like a liaison person there that would help the Wisconsin person, because they could go into the facilities and share information about what was going on. So I only get to facilitate stuff for Wisconsin. And it's not really as hard as I thought it was going to be. I was very scared to get this position. And it seems to be that, I don't know if it's just an alcoholic thing, but we could really blow things out of proportion. I did. I thought I was going to be overwhelmed and not be able to do anything. And the best I do is try to fill the requests that I've received from other members in Alcoholics Anonymous within their districts and to be available wherever possible. And Mike had mentioned, he sounded kind of like he had said something like he didn't say it, but it's kind of like a yes man. I do that too. I just can't say no to a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me something that I could never have dreamed of getting, and that's sobriety. It's not just sobriety. And Dick mentioned about all these other panels. I have recovery. I don't wake up in the morning dreading the day. I don't have that anymore. And I can go to sleep at night without being drunk to fall asleep, so the voices quit racing in my head. It's just, it's odd. But those are things that I've been able to receive from AA. But I like to volunteer. If I'm asked to do something, I'll do it. So I brought in some things. I don't know if you guys can see this, but this is a little can. In the correctional workbook, it might call it the pink can. It doesn't really matter if it's pink, red, green, or what. But there's a little sticker on here. It says donations for corrections literature. Our district has its own corrections committee. Or
did I say that right?
Our own corrections committee. The group contributions help take care of a lot of things that happen in our district. Some districts don't have a large contributing or group contributions. Some places like to use this can to help raise funds for corrections literature so you can get books in the facilities, 12 and 12s, and other literature and things that help the meetings go on in the facilities. Places that use these, you just take them to your meetings and pass them around. Please don't be a selfish person. Just take the money out of that. You know, it's meant for actual purpose. It's to raise funds. Hey, we may be alcoholics, but it doesn't mean we're always better. but it's nice if that gets used for what it's supposed to be for. You know, because I do know things like that can happen. I brought in a couple videotapes, and sorry to say, but we're not going to get to watch them because Gary said we're running behind. These are things that you can use in the facilities to let your inmates know a little bit more about Alcoholics Anonymous. This one's called Sure Beats Sitting in a Cell. You can have your inmates sit down and watch this. Sit there with them, and then at the end of this, you can ask if they have questions, or you can share things specifically about what was in this with them if they don't have questions. And there's also another one that I have here. It's called Carrying the Message Beyond These Walls. And these are things that are helpful little aids. There's times we like to have two people go into the facilities, and I hope I'm not jumping on Jackie's spot here, but there's a lot of times I go to jail, my other partner may not show up. And if I would like to, I can just walk away from the jail and not have a meeting because they recommend that we have two. I feel comfortable going there by myself if it happens to be that way. And I will still have those guys get a meeting because it means a lot to me to do that. So if I end up being by myself, I will. I don't really have a problem with filling in any time with talking to the guys in the jails, but I do like to use these other things as little aids because there's a lot of times where they've already heard my story numerous times, so I get to just do it a little bit differently. And it's really been a great honor and a privilege to be area corrections chair. I've only got to serve in this capacity for about a year, and it's a two-year commitment, but I've really enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward to see what else life has to bring here in Alcoholics Anonymous. there's some new things that are coming up that are, there's bridging the gap. I've done a lot of help with people saying there's such and such is getting out from this facility, moving to your place. Is there anything you can do? I'll try to hook those people up with the DCMs to the districts that they're going to be moving to so they can get a contact so that stuff keeps going instead of them just kind of like getting out the door and it's like, now what happens? Try to keep it going so that they know where they can go, because I'm sure that they found out about Alcoholics Anonymous within their facility that they were in, and that AA is also out here, and that's important so that they know where they can go. I don't know. I guess that's about all I got for now. If you have any questions, we'll try to answer them at the end of the other people's. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Jackie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
I'm a newbie to the Corrections Committee. I just was elected late spring as the chair for the Corrections Committee. So when I first started that or went into that, I had no clue what I was doing or what corrections. I mean, I had gone into the jails and volunteered and participated in, you know, going to the jails and telling my story and picking up women from jails or whatnot. But I had no idea really what was going on with the committee. So one of the first things that I did was I contacted GSO through their website, and they have a little corrections button there, and I went through there and emailed them and said, I'm the new corrections chair. I need some help and some information. And so they sent me a little packet, and I got this wonderful little book, which Mary Jo had explained earlier, that if we, you know, go to GSO, they can send us information that's universal throughout. And that really helped me kind of get an idea of what the purpose of the corrections committee was and some of the, you know, suggestions or things that I could do. So what I did in my experience is kind of find out what the corrections committee was doing. And right now, as a corrections committee, we have people going into two facilities right now. One is the Eau Claire County Jail, and the other one is the Dunn County Jail. On Monday nights, both men and women go into the Eau Claire Jail twice a month. And for Dunn County, originally it was both men and women going in twice a month. Now we have tempered that for the women to go in once a month. And that was a hard decision to make, but because, you know, most of the women in that facility want meetings every week. They want people to come in and to participate and to get a meeting because they have no other contact with AA besides when we go in. The problem that I saw is right now we only have four women going in to Dunn. Also, those women are also going into Eau Claire. And it's great to be of service and say yes, 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 yes to all the facilities who want us to go there, but we couldn't fill the need. And so there was that decision of let's fill the need with the amount of women that we have. And what can we best, how can we best serve these facilities with the women, especially in focusing on the women, because the men are, we have large numbers of men going in, not large, but enough to fill that need. The women has been the opposite, and the last thing I want to do is burn out people who have been going in for 5+ years. And that was kind of a struggle to make that decision. But the other thing that we hoped to try to, help people get into or involved in corrections on a different level. You know, if a lot of people cannot go in to corrections to volunteer for a meeting, in this workbook there was a suggestion or some information about a pre-release contact form. Because really we can take meetings into the facility, and that's great, and it's good to get people exposed. The thing that is the trickiest part is when they leave that facility. There's a huge, well, where do they go from there? Who do they contact? They don't know anybody. We may come into that facility, but there's no contact or personal contact information given between inmates at that point. So the GSO, this workbook, had suggested that there is a contact form that can be filled out by inmates so that before they leave, they can get contacted with another member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so as a committee, we decided to start a P.O. box so that once these pamphlets are sent out to both facilities, those inmates who are interested can fill out that information, and we can almost start a pen pal system. So that, and it has worked so far. We've only had a handful of people that have filled these out, or else from the area have gotten information about so-and-so is going to be released in this area. Can you contact them? Can you talk to them through, you know, mail, and then hook up with them once they're released? The tricky thing now I'm trying to figure out is, are people following through with that? I have no idea. And right now that's kind of one thing that our committee may want to look at, and how to follow up on some of that stuff. So those are some issues coming up. And, you know, I guess I'm trying to think of what else. So that has kind of filled a void of, even though the women's side may not be able to go in all the time or have the numbers to go in, this may be a way for people to participate in corrections. It's very simple because we are the only contact with AA that they have when they're in that facility. So that's kind of what we've been trying to do so far, and we're starting very small. It's easy, especially for me, to think I'm just going to take over the whole district and have one person or two people do that job. And I have to kind of temper that down and look at the number of people who are involved and how can we best facilitate or help those with the numbers of people that we have. So that's kind of been trying to balance that out a little bit. And hopefully, you know, we can get more people involved. Sometimes it's pulling teeth, to say it mildly, to get people to, you know, go into facilities, or they may have some fear about that. And so that's what the Corrections Committee is here to answer questions about that. And we're more than happy to kind of help you with that. So if you have any questions or would love to participate or know somebody who would like to participate, please contact me and I can get you set up with that. So that's all for now.
Hello.
Holy cow, it's been on the whole time. My name's Helen. I'm an alcoholic. Changed my name, sorry. Long story, it's not legal. I shake when I do this, so this is not good with a microphone. I started in corrections. I moved to Kentucky quite a few years ago when my husband was in the military, and my sponsor there decided to start a meeting in the stockade at Fort Knox, the military institution, and he drugged me along. And so we started the first AA meeting there at Fort Knox, Kentucky, at the stockade, which was quite interesting. That's how I was introduced to corrections. I moved back to Wisconsin and went into the Chippewa jail for the women for a while and brought AA meetings there. And then I got away from that for a while. Recently, I live in Chippewa Falls, and five years ago, there was a prison built there at the Chippewa Valley Treatment Correctional Facility. And just a side note, because I never stay on track, corrections is huge in Alcoholics Anonymous and will continue to be. Legislators are really seeing that alcohol is a problem when it comes to criminals. There's more people in prisons and jails, as we all know, they're alcoholics that are not dangerous people. They do dangerous things, but they're not dangerous people. So society is changing with that. So it's so much easier to get into these facilities, and they want us there. So it's a booming thing for Alcoholics Anonymous, which is good. Dang, dry mouth. Okay, so this prison came to Chippewa, and about 8-10 of us got together and said, here's this treatment center. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to treatment centers. I work for a treatment facility type thingy. But it's not AA. So we got together and we said, here's this treatment center, but they need to have Alcoholics Anonymous there. We don't want these guys to just hear about treatment and counseling. So we got in, a bunch of us got together in our garage for a few months and came up with some ideas and proposed it to the correctional facility, and we started a meeting there. It's a speaker meeting. It used to be on Tuesday nights. The very first meeting, where's Patrick? I think there was about 20 guys there. This prison holds 450 inmates. And so the first meeting was about 20 guys. The very next week, there was at least 30. The very next week, there was close to 40. It's absolutely unbelievable. It just kept growing and growing. Now, mind you, at least in my experience, and not that I don't think it's important to bring Alcoholics Anonymous to every facility, but when I brought it into the jail in Chippewa, a lot of those girls just wanted to get out of their cell for an hour, you know? And if the seed was planted, that's okay. But they really just wanted to get out of their cell. At this facility in Chippewa, this during their free time. So there's about 450 inmates at this facility. About 300 of them are playing basketball outside as we come into the meeting. And the rest are in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous by choice, not because they want to get out of their cell. The meeting has grown throughout the years. Actually, it was about a year ago, I had a meeting with the warden, and I was not aware that there was on any given week, there was anywhere between 60 and 70 gentlemen, that's a male prison, that weren't allowed to be at that meeting because there could only be so many people in this room. So it was kind of first come, first serve. So he asked if we could do it another night, and just as Jackie said, it's you know, not to say, oh, poor me, but by this point, it was like year number three, and those 12 people that started out in my garage after 6 months, it was just myself doing this for the next almost 4 years. So it was just too difficult to pick another night. I was having a hard enough time getting 52 speakers a week the way it was. So we came up with a game plan to have it for an hour and a half. The speaker speaks for about 25 minutes with some questions and answers and then speaks again. I just spoke there about a month and a half ago, and there was 80 men in the first meeting and 72 in the next. All about, they don't have to be there. It brings tears to my eyes. As far as the spirit of rotation, I got to a point myself where I was tired of doing it. I was tired of getting speakers. I was tired of going every week. But more so than that, I kept saying to my sponsor, but nobody will do it, and nobody would do it. What, you know, this is close to 100 men every week that want the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. If I don't do it, who will? And she told me I was not that important, that the meeting would still continue. And what I realized was happening, you know, and it's kind of hard to say, but I would come to places like this, and people would say, oh, Brenda, you take care of that meeting. That went right to my head. It was my meeting, man. And it's not. So that's, to me, why the spirit of rotation is very important, because I all of a sudden thought that that meeting was going so well because of me. I had nothing to do with it. And I laughed earlier because I stole money from my first home group. Big amends to make with that one. So yeah, that's my story with corrections. I don't know what else to say. I think it's a very important thing, though.
I know there's some questions for this group from this crowd. Go ahead. So the question is, how can he get involved? Or maybe the question for each one of you, maybe at a different level, being area versus the district, can he get involved in both arenas or one of the two?
I'm Paul Alcoholic. I'm not going to keep saying that if I answer questions. You should have heard it the first couple times. Anyways, to your question, I don't know, honestly, what kind of, if you got a local jail here or something close by, but this will have to do with district here too, but We have, I don't know how, there's other jails in our, I'm from the same district that Jackie is, but we have more jails than just Eau Claire and Dunn County. And the other places, there is people that volunteer to facilitate those jails so that those jails are also being met. I'd be happy to sit down and talk with you about doing this, but to contact your jail, see if you can have other volunteers. There's a little bit of criteria that goes along with going into the jails. You need a certain amount of time out of jail, off paper, and stuff like that before you can go in and share with the inmates. But you could be fresh out of jail, and I think it's a year, 2 years, I think it is, to be off paper or out of jail, something like that. But there's correspondence that you can write letters to inmates and correspond with them, let them know what Alcoholics Anonymous is about, even take them through a lot of your experience, what's gone on. Because what I got to learn in Alcoholics Anonymous was I related with people's experiences that were similar to mine that helped me identify with where I belonged. Because if I was going to go to AA meetings and I was only going to listen to home economics drunks, if you want to say, I couldn't relate. I wouldn't be able to relate with that. I needed to relate with people that had similar experiences that I had. And it's nice that you volunteer or are interested in doing so, because you never know who you're going to help. I don't see a lot of inmates come out from my jails, but I'm very happy to go there. I sure hope they get a seed planted, because somebody screwed my drinking up years ago, way before I got here. But that thoughts was always in my head. It's like, maybe they're right, or why did they have to tell me that? I didn't care for that, but it helped me for later down the road, you know. So it's always, you know, if that's all I get to do is plant a seed in somebody's head to start screwing up their drinking, fine, I'm happy with that. Because wherever they end up, they'll know there's some place to go. But there's correspondence and there's some criteria that have to be met to go into the jails, but it's very nice that you're interested in doing so. I guess from the microphone here, I couldn't tell you everything what is needed to do, but please get in touch with me or Jackie before we get out of here. Thank you.
Hi. Just so you know, as far as the, and you said the initials really good. I always say CVTC. But at the prison in Chippewa, the warden has allowed people that have been there to come through per, you still have to go through the same paperwork that anybody does to volunteer. Even if you're on paper, if your probation officer writes a letter for you, they're more than happy to have you come in, because your experience as a standing member of Alcoholics Anonymous is important for them. So,
thank you. Mike?
Mike Alcohol.
Hi, Mike. What kind of environment is it at the prison?
Okay. At
this facility, I don't want to speak for all, but and there are meetings that are in maximum security prisons, just so you know, out there in the country. It can be done. But at this one, the best way I can describe it is they meet in the
visitor room.
And there's a social worker there. There's a guard there. It's very safe. You go through all the doodads. And I was actually more scared at the stockade when I first started. When I went to this one for the first time, I really wasn't scared. And my first meeting with the deputy warden, he had asked me, would you be okay if there wasn't even a guard there? So there's, you know, 60 men, just me. Would you be okay with it? And truthfully, I've never felt more safe in that room. I felt more safe in that room than I did in church, and I go to church almost every week. That's the truth. I don't know how else. Very much welcoming. There's some of the gentlemen that have never shaken. I mean, they love that the, you know, we've been so fortunate that the speakers that come in care and treat these gentlemen like human beings, not like inmates. And so some of them have never shaken somebody's hand before when they first come in. So very welcoming, very, very caring. The second meeting that happened at that place, this guy named Fish, and I asked him if I could tell this, because I tell this story a lot, and I don't think Bruce will care. So anyways, Bruce was speaking, and he was talking about big book, big book, big book, big book, right? And we always have questions and answers at the end. And Fish just said, "And what the hell is this big blue book you keep talking about?" First meeting ever. Like, been incarcerated almost all of his life, but really cared and wanted to know. And he worked at the Humane Society for a while when it burnt down. They're just like you and me. Very welcoming, very kind. I don't know. Like I said, I've never feared going up there. I don't like some of the guards sometimes, but, you know. Is that answer? Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Cheryl. This question is directed at Jackie. Jackie, you said that there's only 4 women that are currently going into the jail. Mm-hmm. And is that just from one group? Are we getting participation from other groups in Eau Claire? Or, you know, is it just a lack of women that are, you know, I mean, I know that we have, like, up-team meetings in Eau Claire alone.
Yes. Definitely. And that's kind of where I'm trying to get my bearings right now. First, I'm starting small. I remember when I first went to my corrections meeting after I read this book, it was just like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. And my sponsor's like, why don't you just concentrate on one thing right now? And for me, that was getting in contact with the facilities, getting a rapport like Helen had talked about is so vital that you have contact with the people who are heading up the programs. Not to go off tangent here, but when I called her, she had no clue. She's like, I don't even know what AA is. And it's just like, so we've been going into this facility, but no one has done the work as far as contacting who's in charge there. Is that so important? So that's kind of where I've been starting. Now, participation, definitely, I would love that to grow and to expand and to be in. Really, someone from Hudson or River Falls to drive to Eau Claire is just not sometimes feasible. So, yes, trying to get more people, but I'm not at that point yet. I'm just trying to get right now where I'm at is contact the people I did with Don. It's step by step by step. And that's why I had to lower the meeting to where we're at now. If it grows, then I can look at, but right now I'm just doing little pieces right now to kind of figure out where, what the corrections committee is doing and get our bearings. Because like Paul had mentioned, we can't just go out and do stuff and just be like all over the place and not have a network, which Mike had talked about, which that's what I'm trying to do too, is get in contact with who's going where, who's at the area level now, you know, get in contact with that, who's doing the bridging the gap, trying to figure out and get in contact with him so that I'm not just on my own going, oh, I have an idea, and then go running off and doing it without, you know, what's going on around me. So that's been kind of what I've been concentrating on now. I have not gotten too much into volunteers right now at this point, but that may change.
Go ahead. Well, why don't you come up here?
Hi, everybody. My name's Sherry, and I'm an alcoholic. And I just moved to Hudson, a few weeks ago, like last month. And I had the privilege of being the District 22 Corrections Chair in Virginia for a couple years. And I'm just like over there. My palms are sweating. I want to just share all my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, maybe we could meet later and talk about some of this fun stuff. But I didn't know anything when I started. Old-fashioned. I called GSO and asked them to, you know, if they'd send me a workbook, and they did, and I read it from cover to cover, and I plagiarized the letters in there and sent it out to all of the facilities in our area, in our district, and I got more letters than I could deal with at first, but what helped me was I actually picked a chairperson for each facility, and then I didn't feel like I had to make sure someone was at each one, so that helped a great deal to, like, you know, delegate and have other people on the committee, because I was just, you know, a trusted servant. I wasn't the boss of anything. So that helped me a great deal. And then I knew that at least that one person for the prison was going to let me know that everything was going great. And then they would be responsible for making sure that someone was there to speak each week. And then I would, you know, try to take care of a lot of the other stuff that needed some attention. And then we started the women's meeting at the jail, actually, and a men's meeting at the jail too. And there was always more men, so we had to start a second men's meeting as well. But as far as the women's meeting goes, we did a lot. We studied the Big Book. I mean, we went right through it. I mean, we tried back to basics, a Wally P thing, and we went through the steps. And you know, it was in a small, not too big a room, and the women got to where they would chair their own meeting, and I was just there because they needed, you know, an AA or two to come in so they could have their meeting, and they had their secretary and took their minutes and stuff, and I'd sit over here and we'd do a fifth step. I'd take one of them over here in the corner, and we'd work through the steps, and one would be ready, and we'd sit over here, and they just felt so much freedom from that. And I to this day have one of them who's employed and is my husband's office manager. I mean, these are not mean, criminally minded women or men. They are sick people just like us. And if you in the Big Book to the employers, you know, if you've got an alcoholic in their cup that is drunk, he's the worst employee you've got to have your boundaries and fire them. But if they get sober, they will be the most honorable and employee with the most integrity. And if you could have them all recovering alcoholics, you'd have a higher production. So my experience, it's enhanced my life, my recovery. I have an experience, you know, and stuff to share, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And when someone, you know, told me about this, I said, oh, I got to make it. You know, I'm going to be there. And I'm missing the St. Louis Blues play the Detroit Red Wings in Sweden right now. So, I mean, I left the game to get down here. So, anyway, thanks for the time. It's so wonderful. And I'm here so that I can get involved. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, Adam, you've asked enough questions. Go ahead. All right, thank you. More or not? Okay, we're done with this panel? Okay. Yeah, we're getting to that. Just hang on. Thank you. Give me a hand.